Good to see each one of you here. We're enjoying a beautiful day out today. Every once in a while, I think it'd be nice just to have church outdoors and just enjoy the good weather. We don't have a lot of it. We kind of go from one extreme to the other. I mowed grass outside last Tuesday on a big Skag mower, and I about froze. It was so cold. The wind was cold. And anyway, that's what we get for living in Indiana, don't we? Couple of things here. We do have men's and women's Bible study this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock right here. The men meet in here over in this area, and the ladies meet over in the fellowship hall. And hope you can come. Be glad to have you. Keep Woody Burton in your prayers. Woody has had some heart issues, been in the hospital this week, and want to keep him, keep lifting him up in prayers. We have had a letter here. This is kind of a mystery thing. We have sent this letter, and it contains a giving record for someone last year, but it's addressed to Storage Solutions of Indianapolis. If anybody knows anything about this, it's in Franklin, it's a Franklin address. So this is a giving record. And of course, it's tax time and almost passed. So if anybody knows anything about it, why, let us know. We mailed it twice and it's come back twice. So somebody would probably like to have that. Well, it's good to see each one of you here, and let's praise the Lord and worship Him. So would you stand as we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is my health, salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound forth His people again, gladly for hey, we adore Him. And then for the beauty of the earth. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love from which our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Well, greet a few folks around you before you're seated. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, we read these impressive words. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and to go to the Father. having loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The evening meal was being served. The devil had prompted him to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have a bath need only to wash their feet, and their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you," referring, of course, to Judas. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, verily, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Verse 1 is an interesting verse in the first translation and the NIV. It says this: having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Just think about that. He now showed them the full extent of his love. When we stop and think about this, we see that Jesus knows he's going to die. He knows that his hour has come to leave this world. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to suffer. He knows that he's going to hang on that cross for some six long hours, painful hours. He's going to go through the shame and the indignity and the pain. He's going to bear the sin of all the world for us. But he's concerned more about his disciples. He's concerned more about those men where he's celebrating this Passover meal. And he's so concerned about them that he wants to set an example for them. He wants to do something for them that they will never forget. He wants to do something that will be memorable, something that they can look back on the rest of their lives and think, this is who Jesus really was. He was a servant. He came to serve. He came to love. You know, the world has lots of ways to show and express love. Lots of different ways and show what the world even calls love. The Guinness Book of World Records has lots of things that are unusual. Some records for many unusual feats, like walking the longest distance on stilts, or eating the most M&Ms with chopsticks. Well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I'd like to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for eating the world's biggest enchilada, or chili dog, or, you know, something impressive like that. That would be my deal. In the 2004 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records, set on October 3rd, 2001, there were 4,703 people who participated in the world's largest hug. The world's largest hug. It was a huge group hug. It actually took place, and you'd never guess, it took place at a Boy Scout event in Sweden. Don't you wish you could have been there? You ever notice that the world's kind of divided between huggers and non-huggers? I don't know if you're a hugger or not. I was thinking about that for myself. I love to hug my kids and grandkids and dear friends, but to hug somebody I just met or something, that might not work for me. I don't know about you, but I suspect that huggers are more emotionally secure than the non-huggers. Who knows? But healthy people and their counterparts are usually huggers. Imagine the positive energy of that event, this world's largest hug. But I think when we stop and think about it, we have to take exception to that. We know what the world's largest hug was, and it wasn't at a Boy Scout event in Sweden. It was when Jesus went to the cross. He spread out his arms. It started on Palm Sunday as he triumphantly rode into Jerusalem. It gained momentum when he instituted the Last Supper. This bread, this fruit of the vine is indicative of my broken body and my poured out blood. And then it culminated on the cross when he spread out his arms. That's the world's biggest hug. That's an I love you that is unmatched. That was the ultimate hug. So if we consider a hug an act of love, and there are many ways that we show love, and it would certainly be one of them. I read this story about a lady named Nora Abel, and she's a lady who has a young neighbor. He's 12 years old. His name is Quentin, and Quentin loves her, even though he can't always express it. Quentin is autistic, and because of his condition, he kind of lives in his own world with very little emotional connection to anybody else. But when he wants to express his emotions, he finds a way to do it. One day, Nora's husband took Quentin fishing, and they had a good time, but late that night, about midnight, their phone rings, and they had caller ID, so they knew it was Quentin, and he literally burped out the words, "I love you." That was his way of expressing his love. Love doesn't always have to be conventional, does it? There are many ways to feel love. There are many ways to give love. There are many ways to receive love. In this text, again, Jesus is showing his men the full extent of his love. These 12 apostles, even Judas is there. He's showing them how he loves them. He knows his time is short, and this message must be memorable. So he takes off his outer clothing, and he wraps a towel around his waist, and he pours water into a basin. And he gets down on his hands and knees, and he begins to wash the dirty feet of the disciples. And when you stop and think about this, this is an amazing thing. Who's doing this? Who's washing these dirty feet? It's Jesus, and he is the co-eternal, co-creator, co-existent with the Father. He's the one who spoke with his Father this world into existence. He could calm the storms. He could raise the dead. He could heal the blind and the crippled. He is God in the flesh. And he's down on his hands and knees, and he's washing dirty feet. Washes dirty feet. It was an image I don't think they would ever forget. It was an image that would change their lives and change the world for the better. When Jesus knelt down to wash his disciples' feet, he wasn't just showing them what to do. He was showing them who he was. And who was he? He was God. And what does 1 John 4:8 say? God is love. Everybody say that. God is love. He's showing them the full extent of his love. Young girl came home one day and bursting with good news. She said, "Mother, Mom, I know why we need to learn grammar in school." She said it, and her mom was puzzled. She said it so we can understand God. And the mom thought, "What? What do you mean?" She said, "Well, God is love, and love can be a noun. Love can be a verb, an adjective, an adverb." What a perfect concept. What a powerful concept. Love is not just a vague feeling. It's an action. It's an attitude. It's a spirit. It's a character trait. Since Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God, his every action, his every attitude, his every thought, his every word was motivated by love, without reservation. This is clear evidence that whatever we are on the inside, there is clear evidence that whatever we are in the inside will actually make its way to the surface. You know, there's an old saying, actions speak louder than words. What we are on the inside will surface in our words and in our deeds. Here's something to think about. You know, what we say about others actually says a lot about us. Do you ever think about that? What we say about others says a lot about what we, says a lot about us. When we are petty, when we gossip, when we are on an ego trip, when we're controlling, when we're manipulative, when our behavior doesn't come from God's love in our hearts, it comes from a heart of sinfulness and selfishness and self-centeredness. Listen, only a heart of love will wash the dirty feet of others in genuine humility. Hallmark ought to have a card with dirty feet on the front of it. that's genuine love. That's love in action. You think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, the Sisters of Charity, and working with the poorest of the poor. That's love. That's love. Jesus wasn't really just saying, "Do as I do." He was saying, "Be who I am." You've heard remember the little bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Maybe we ought to have one that says, BWJW, be who Jesus was. Serve and love and give. Just as purity was the highest calling for the Jewish believer, so is love the highest calling for the Christian. You know, the Ten Commandments were and still are absolutely necessary for teaching us purity and godliness. But the Ten Commandments are mostly external guidelines. Anybody can follow an external guideline without expressing a change of heart, a change of character. I can observe the speed limit if there's a police car right behind me. In my heart of hearts, I may be thinking, "Boy, as soon as that guy is not there, I'm going to speed up just here a little bit." It's like the little boy who was told to sit down, and he said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." So you see, it's a matter of the heart, and a heart of love is a heart of service. A heart of love does what Jesus did. It serves and puts others first. Jesus commands and demands a change of heart. When it comes to adultery, Jesus said lust is just as bad. When it comes to murder, hatred is just as serious, according to Jesus. You know, you can only fake love for so long. Before the true actions and words come through, it's almost impossible to fake genuine love. Sacrificial love, agape love, the love of God, the sacrificial love, it demands a high price. Tony Evans has a book called "Who Is This King of Glory?" And in it he said, God's kind of love is sacrificial. If you haven't loved someone to the point of paying a price for that person, then you really haven't fully loved yet. So what about paying the price for love? What price did Jesus pay? A great, great price. He gave up all of his power and all of his glory in heaven, and he became one of us. He put on flesh. He experienced weakness and exhaustion. He experienced hunger. He experienced pain. He continually humbled himself to show people his love, even washing the dirty feet of his men. The final proof, of course, is that he gave his life in the most painful, humiliating way possible, death by crucifixion, all to bear a burden that rightfully belongs to us. So here's an important question. What does your love for others cost you? What's it cost? What does genuine love cost you? It may cost you your own agenda. It may cost you your own way of things, getting your way. You might think you've got to control somebody. It may cost you your petty me-first attitude. Perhaps you'll need to give up some of your self-centeredness. Maybe you need to give up some of your time, some of your talents, some of your money. Maybe you need to give up some of your prejudices, your preferences, your comfort level for the sake of others. That's what true love costs. Do you really count the cost of love? Jesus didn't. He just said in the garden on his knees, "Not my will, Father, but thy will be done." He was willing and did pay the price. That's when we know, though, what real love is. That's when we know what it's all about. When we can say to God, "God, everything I have is yours. Everything I am is completely yours. Use me, Father, however you will." Mother Teresa would go around in these slums in Calcutta and different places, and she would say, "How may I serve you today? How may I serve you today?" A few years ago, there was a pastor named Tom Severson who was brutally attacked in his church office. This man who had mental problems slit his throat and left him for dead. According to Tom, he said, "Your life really does flash before your eyes." He said he felt like he was seeing his life for the first time through God's eyes. And he said, in every moment, God seemed to be saying to him, "How much love did I pour out on you? And how much of it has flowed out to others?" He recalled many instances when he had neglected or ignored his own family, when he didn't have sympathy for the members of his church. He realized he had not lived out his highest purpose in life, to love others, to share God's love with others. Fortunately, he barely survived the attack, and after months of recovery, returned to the church a brand new man. He was determined to serve others in love, just as Jesus had done for him. We're grateful that he didn't face, or it's amazing that he had to face death before he discovered his great purpose in loving others. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." Think about that. I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus said we have to take up our cross daily and follow me. I love a little passage in 1 John chapter 3, 1, where it says, "How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished out his love on us that we might be the children of God." You're a child of God and he loves you. And the least we can do is to love others, to put others first. The least we can do is to set aside our own wants and desires and put others first. That's what genuine love really looks like. So if Christ lives in us, then the love of God will shine through us. If Christ lives in us, then the love of God will shine through us. Arthur Garrison Keillor is a favorite of Karen and I. We used to listen to his radio program on Saturday nights on public radio, and he's a great writer and interesting guy, and he writes about this little town. It's a imaginary town up in northern Minnesota where he came from, called Lake Wobegon. And funny stuff. I mean, a very, very clever writer. And he had this show called Prairie Home Companion Show. It was on for many years. But he wrote in a book about something that happened in his own personal life that I thought was pretty amazing. He said, when our family would gather for Thanksgiving or Christmas, he said, our family would all gather around the table. And like at Thanksgiving, we'd all tell, you know, what we were thankful for in the past year. But he said, Uncle John always gave the prayer. He usually gave the prayer, which caused everybody to squirm. As Keillor said, everybody in the family knew that Uncle John couldn't pray without talking about the cross and crying. Sure enough, Uncle John prayed, he talked about the cross, and he cried. Then Keillor adds these memorable words, which struck me. He said, all of us knew that Jesus had died on the cross, but Uncle John had never gotten over it. No one knows, or no one who truly knows what happened on that cross should ever get over it. His love for us. That's what love looks like. Washing dirty feet and dying for us on the cross. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder of genuine love, what genuine love needs to be, what genuine love needs to do, what kind of examples genuine love should be in our influence and in our dealings, our relationships with other people. Help us to love one another. Thank you for your great love. Scriptures also say, greater love has this than no man, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Scripture says that, God, you so loved the world that you gave us your only Son, that if we would believe in him, we would not perish but have everlasting life. And that Jesus also said, by this will all men know that you are my followers, my disciples. If you have love one for the other, help us to be known as your disciples. Help us to love in a genuine way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation and decision. If there's any decision that you would make for Christ, you'd like to share with us here today, you can step forward as we stand and sing, the light of the world is Jesus.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for me. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will uprise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Well, thank you for being here. Come back, bring somebody with you, invite somebody else to come. Remember the Bible studies, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. And keep all the folks on the prayer list in your prayers. There's a big, long list there. Some of them have been on that list a long time. But we need to keep praying. Pray with faith, believing. Pray in the name of Jesus. With faith, in His name, that He will touch and heal some of those who need it. Pray for those who you may know who have no church home or no relationship with Christ, that they might come to know Him. We need to constantly do that. So, Charlie, would you say a benediction prayer for us, brother?
Heavenly Father, as we gather here today to listen to your message, we just want to thank each and every one that shows up here today. You know, we had a big crowd last week, and we have a similar crowd this week, and we just want to thank each and every one of them. Just be with each and every one on our prayer.
Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of